When you think about the great writing teams, your Kaufman and Hart's, your Rodgers and Hammerstein's, your Lennon and McCartney's.
The Sherman brothers, Bobby Sherman and Alan Sherman.
Yeah. Sacco and Vanzetti.
Exactly, okay. Yes.
You have to add to that pantheon of great writing teams, Martin and Titchener. And I don't think I'm at all biased in saying that.
No, you absolutely have to. Okay, you don't.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 250, Martin and Titchener. To our 250th podcast episode. It is hard to believe we've been keeping you up to date with all things Reduced for almost 5 years now. And Reed Martin and I are still discovering new things to tell you about. For instance, we just recorded a lengthy interview about how we write our plays for Matt Rippey's new podcast, Ear to the Track. But that got me thinking that We've written six stage plays. We're in the process of writing our seventh right now, the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged. And that's the light bulb went off in my head. Oh my gosh, we're a playwriting team.
It's funny to me that hadn't occurred to you.
It hadn't.
Well, what didn't occur to me is the pantheon of all the other people. We allegedly keep company with, but
yeah, we all go to the meetings, you know.
That's right, yeah, and Alan J. Lerner hardly ever shows up anymore.
Thank God, what an asshole!
Boy, what a jerk! So we've been doing this since what? We first collaborated in 1992, so we're, I guess, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
With the Complete History of America Abridged, uh-huh. And of course that was with Adam,
right?
Adam Long, as was the Bible Abridged.
Uh-huh.
Adam Long
uh-huh.
as a co-collaborator, and then we had Nick Graham writing the music for Millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, it's been you and me for books, Hollywood, sports, and Christmas.
And Christmas, yeah. And it's, I guess I thought of it too because since Christmas is following so closely on the heels of sports, mm-hmm. I guess that's the other thing that in my head I went, oh my gosh, we're actually professional writers.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're doing now. You know, we're doing a play a year. And if we're thinking of maybe coming out with another show I don't think we're going to come out with another show in 12. We might, but it might be closer to 13. That means, gosh, this is actually what we do.
Yeah, we've written a lot of stuff together.
Well, and I guess the other thing that occurred to me too is that, you know, the Reduced Shakespeare Company gets all the credit. You know?
The Reduced Shakespeare Company is the production company.
Yes.
The Reduced Shakespeare Company puts on the shows, but mm-hmm. we do not write as members of the Reduced Shakespeare
right.
Company. We write as independent contractors.
Right.
And then the Reduced Shakespeare Company produces our plays, as do other companies, regional
right.
theaters and colleges and community theaters.
Right. So I guess, yeah, that was part of it was just my own ego going, wait a second, Martin and Titchener. Gosh darn it. Martin and Titchener are the guys that are making this happen. So do you write the words of the melody, Reed Martin?
I write the melody to Reed Martin. Reed Martin. My mom and dad wrote the words. Yeah.
Do you have a sense, have you thought about this at all? About what you tend to write versus like from show to show? Are you finding similarities between the sports show and the Christmas show, for instance? For instance, I've noticed that a trope I use as a writer is to, okay, I'm going to write a scene for the three guys, and they're going to be wearing funny costumes.
I'm going to have Reed come out wearing almost nothing. You've written that a few times.
Listen, that's always a go-to moment. That is go-to. Although this time I'm wearing... In the Christmas show, I'm wearing a ridiculous outfit that's quite an expansion on some of the previous ridiculous outfits I've been wearing.
That's true.
I mean, funny costumes are just, you know, it's always good for a good entrance, but then you've got to go somewhere from that. So that's also the challenge.
Yeah. What do I tend to write? I tend to write in the script before we go into rehearsal.
Yeah.
They do a funny physical bit here.
Yes, that's what I do. And then,
that's my clown, and yes, my high concept of a scene. And
we'll figure it out in rehearsal.
Yeah. Well, in my head, I don't know the specifics, but I like in the sports show, say synchronized swimming and mm-hmm. some of that Olympics. Some of those Olympic things. It was just, you know, yeah. well, we can. I know we'll come. I can.
Yeah.
We'll think of something funny in rehearsal.
Yeah.
In the Christmas show, early on, I was going over the list that I compiled. I don't know, 10 months ago,
yeah.
and it just a found object bell choir. I think that could be really funny.
Yeah.
But
that's not a thing you can write. That's a thing you literally have to go out and find a bunch of objects and bring them into rehearsal and start playing with them with the actors
and see what sounds funny and what order they go in. Lil Nutsy is our Billy Barty ballet in the Christmas show. Which we didn't come up with right off the bat. I recall we were talking about that we should, do we need to include, we were sitting at the Kennedy Center in the rehearsal room in July, I think. And here we are in September. Mm-hmm. And we were thinking, well, how could we do this? And I can't, we were together in the room.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. And this is where these conversations go weird. Well, whose idea was that?
Yeah.
God knows.
Well,
but I do recall having seen... This bit is inspired a bit by a very funny routine I saw called Men in Coats.
Okay, yeah.
And then I went onto YouTube and saw some other ways to do small people dancing, and then we sort of took that and made it our own and tell the Nutcracker story on it. But again, that's not a thing you can script. This is just a funny
physical.
And I think maybe it goes back to my clown background, where you don't write a script for a... I mean, you might outline it, but then you got to get it up on its feet and see what happens.
Well, and this was one of the happy accidents I realized is that sometimes I'll like to sit down and go, all right, I have the shape of a scene in my head. I know where it starts and I know where it ends, and I'm going to get there. But then there are other times where I go, God, I don't know what to write. I just need to sit down and write something, because I know if I write something, it will lead to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I wrote for the Christmas show, for instance, and I suspect we'll talk a lot about the Christmas show as we discuss this, because that's the one that we're working on at the moment. But I wrote this long introduction. The conceit of the Christmas show is that we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company has been hired to host and compare and put together a holiday variety show and Christmas pageant for the Saint Everybody's Universalist Church, where all faiths are welcome because we believe anything. And because of the bad winter storms, none of the other acts show up. So the Reduced Shakespeare Company is forced to put on the entire event by themselves. So I created this opening speech where the stage manager would come out and just list all the acts that were supposed to be here that couldn't make it. And now that opening speech has turned out to go away now. But this list of opening acts provided many of the acts that we were talking about. And we were sitting in the room at the Kennedy Center going, you know what, we haven't covered the Nutcracker, and we haven't done anything with elves. And then we went back to that list, and I remembered on that list, oh, wait a second, I wrote down the Billy Barty Ballet Company, Lil Nutsy, the Dwarf Nutcracker.
Right, and then I remember we had a discussion, well, we can go on our knees, but we've done that in a couple of shows, and then bing, oh, wait a minute, I think we could do it this way.
Here's how we know how we could do it. Yeah. So it's one of those happy accidents where I had an idea, you had an idea, combine the two together, and it becomes this great other thing.
I think of you writing funny little songs.
Yes.
I think of you thinking of story. I think of me coming up with punchlines.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But
I think both of those things are true. And yet, every so often, I'll come up with a punchline.
Well, I remember you were very proud of yourself of a punchline, which. You were so tickled with yourself coming up with it in rehearsal, you practically patted yourself on the back. It's a great line. But we were sitting in there, and we needed two more lines to get these people off stage in the Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get a load of that. Did you see that donkey Mary rode in on? Yeah, and nice ass.
very, very proud of myself.
Yeah, you were beaming. And it is a great line.
Well, the punchline I wrote in the sports show was another one of those things that I don't usually come up with. What's your favorite women's sport? Men's figure skating.
Yeah.
I don't. My mind doesn't think like that. I do think about character. Like in sports, there's the scene where I start to pass out every time you mention the word baseball, and you play it like it's a real play. and mm-hmm. And the payoff is mm-hmm. I just think baseball is so boring it puts me to sleep all the time.
Well, that's another thing. If there's something about Star Trek, I can pretty much assure all of our listeners it was not initiated by me.
Yes, that's a very true thing. and yet I tend to write these little ditties, mm-hmm. but you write ditties as well, and you've written sometimes
like in the. In the sports show, you came up with that tune, and then you had the first verse. Mm-hmm. And what I was going to say is, I think many of our best things, it starts with one of us has some idea, and then somebody says something else, and somebody says something else. Yeah. And I think the fight song is a perfect example of that. That's something, probably the first thing you wrote.
Yeah.
And then we heard it, and I said, well, I think we need to finish the show with that. And I said, let me see if I can write a second verse to the thing in the first act and a final verse mm-hmm. for the end. And so ultimately, mm-hmm. like many of our good things, it's very much a collaboration. I'm thinking right now of in the Christmas show, you wrote this introduction. You also wrote the introduction to the sports show.
Uh-huh. All right.
I remember the Bible show early on thinking, we got a fig leaves. Three guys in fig leaves. What's the third, And I remember at the end thinking, oh, we'll finish with That's Armageddon.
Yeah,
it's
right.
a song.
Yeah.
So we often, I think you and I both often think, well, you got to start strong and finish strong. You've written the good beginnings the last couple of shows. Mm-hmm. And I've thought of some stuff too. I guess the finish to the Olympics. I think I was the one who said, well, we should finish with the Olympics. I don't know what that is.
No, for sure. That was definitely a thing.
And Christmas, we were thinking it would be fun to do an English panto, mm-hmm. and the nativity story, you have to do it at a Christmas pageant. Yeah. And I remember sitting in New Zealand going, well, what panto would we do? And I looked at all sort of the traditional English pantos, Snow White and Cinderella and Red Riding Hood, and that didn't click. And then I just think, well, wait a minute. What if we did it mm-hmm. as the story of Jesus?
Yeah. Well, that was the question I had because I don't know much about Christmas pantos.
Yeah.
I was always curious, why don't they do the story of Jesus? Because that seems the most intuitive thing, the most logical thing.
Well, now we're going into the script of the Christmas show.
Right. Yes. Well, exactly.
That would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
No, but that's its body and slightly irreverent.
Yeah. And that's but that's the other thing that happens when writing the scripts is that, you know, part of the conversations in the research of the scripts becomes scene work. I mean, becomes items in the scenes, and working with the actors that we're working with right now on this non-RSC production, and with actors that we will direct down the line, very often the actors will want to go, oh, well, I got to put a funny sitcom spin on this line, and I always, it's funny, I've realized now I direct as if I'm directing a real play, not a comedy, because I always keep saying to the actors, keep it real. Keep it real, keep it real, keep it real. Because if it's not real, then it's just a series of jokes.
Hello, this is Russell Lees, author of Nixon's Nixon. And you, my friend, are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Well, you just missed an amazing performance in Gainesville, Florida, at the University of Florida, where Michael Faulkner spent the day in the emergency room with a kidney stone and then went on and performed The Complete World of Sports Abridged with Mick Orff and Matt Rippey. You can see this amazing team later this week in Athens, Georgia and Decatur, Alabama. And then Reed Martin, Brent Tubbs, and I will be performing two performances of all the great books abridged at Pepperdine University in Malibu and Caltech in Pasadena, California. After that, we start our three-week run of The Complete World of Sports Abridged in New York City at the New Victory Theater. And then starting November 25th, the day after Thanksgiving, Reed, Matt Rippey, and I premiere the Reduced Shakespeare Company's eighth stage production, The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. The September issue is out now. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
I think a couple of other scenes from the sports show that were very much collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
The golf scene there, I think, I think I had written a long scene, but it wasn't a golf scene, about what's the difference between a game and a sport.
Yep.
And then you had an idea, well, maybe we could turn it into set it in Scotland and they're golfers. What's your recollection?
Well, yeah, no, that's it. My idea was we come out at the top of the second act wearing ridiculous golf outfits.
Funny costumes.
Yeah, funny costumes. And we'll think of something to say during that scene. And then it was the scene that you had written about sports and games.
And then the other one that's like that, which isn't maybe the best scene in the sports show, is the locker room scene, which started, I think, as I had written a scene of an athlete who is going to, like, a therapist because he can only speak in cliches.
Yes.
And then the therapist, and it wasn't a funny scene at all, but it was kind of a list of cliches and what they really mean in an interview. And then you said, well, maybe I can.
Well, I had also, I had written a short, the worst locker room speech ever.
Right.
Full of cliches and exhortations that don't make any sense and don't help.
Right.
And so.
And then I said, well, maybe, I think, yeah, and again, these guys, right. But, well, what if the guys are correcting the coach? Mm-hmm. So he's talking in cliches, and then the players are sort of, anyway, and it's evolved into a really great scene.
Yeah. No, it has. Again, it's just combining disparate ideas. Here's a fragment of melody here, a fragment of melody here. You put it together, it's a good song.
Another thing, thinking of the Christmas show, is, so you wrote this introduction. I think I remember coming up with, all I had was a line, St. Everybody's Universalist Church, where all faiths are welcome because we'll believe anything.
Boom, and that was it.
And then you wrote a whole opening scene out of that with the weather. And then, this was only 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, well, originally, we announced at the top, none of the acts have arrived. And I said, well, maybe we can hold out a little hope that they're going to arrive, just delay it a little bit. And you said, well, maybe we can just, maybe that can be a running thing for your character. So the opening scene starts with a line of me, then you write a weather thing, and then I say, maybe we can change the weather, and you say, well, maybe we can stretch that idea, and then it becomes a whole thing.
Well, and these little things, again, born of the truth of kind of who we are as people and how we approach things, is that, you know, what are our, in a show about Christmas, what are our points of view? And you're a religious boy, you go to church, you're a church-going fella. I don't go to church, I'm not at all religious, and the running joke with me, with my family, and with my Catholic in-laws is that I'm a pagan. You know,
and so that's an ongoing line where I, in the Christmas show, where I keep calling you a pagan. You go, not a pagan,
still not a pagan. so it's just an ongoing thing. But my point of view represent. I mean, everybody of every faith is going to come see the Christmas show. You know, fingers crossed, knock wood.
Right.
So you want everybody kind of to be represented by the three actors on stage. There are things that happen where one, like a phrase or an idea gets thrown out as just a line of dialogue, and then we realize in the writing, and then often in the rehearsing of it, that can actually be a running character motif. I mean, sometimes it's a running gag. I remember when I think I made a reference to Anne Murray in the America show. And then I think it was Adam or you or all of us that decided, oh, yeah, no, Anne Murray needs to be a running touchstone in the history of America, which is funny.
Yeah.
The other thing I realized is that another trope of mine is that I'm the one who will make a 1970s pop musical reference. in the Bible, there was Three Dog Nights, Joy to the World was in. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Anne Murray, of course, in the America show. And then of course, there's a major Bee Gees motif here in the Christmas show.
Nothing says Christmas like disco.
Like disco. Well, and there was that whole scene in the radio show of Shakespeare's comedies are like 1970s rock bands.
Yeah. Yeah. Who?
Right, who? Yeah, yeah.
Guess who?
The band?
Yeah.
Guess who?
Where are they from? Chicago.
The other thing is just as writers, we direct the shows as we write. You know, because we have a sense of how it's going to build and be shaped like a W and everything else. But then as directors, we are continuing the writing process.
Yeah.
Well, and you hear about actors talking about, oh, well, he's an internal actor, he works from the inside out, or he's an external actor, he works from the outside in. I think of ourselves as external writers because we know the shape of what we're creating. It's an entertainment, you know. And yet, we know where the signposts are. We want big moments here, 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 and here. So then we have to go in and fill in with the character stuff, with the personal stuff, with the stuff that's going to make it not just a series of jokes, but actually a play with characters that audiences can get involved with.
Well, and you hear actors say, oh, and he wrote this part specifically for me. He knew what I could do, and whether that's a TV show or a movie or a play, and that's what we do in every show.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, what is, oh, yeah, Austin does this thing really well.
Yeah.
Reed does this thing really well. Austin has this party trick. Matt Rippey can do this.
Yeah.
And so, so we're always writing for ourselves, aware of our limitations and our abilities, and that helps.
Is there anything else you want to write? Have you branched out ever into other things that you've written?
Well, I wrote a show called Accordion Lessons,
mm-hmm.
Which I've done readings at the Pittsburgh Public and at Reston Center Theater in Virginia about my child's experience with religion and accordion. It was a religious experience.
And it's a toe-tapping good time.
Yeah. I wrote,
and it's a great piece, but you haven't had time to pursue it.
I've been busy, and it's very personal, and so I just have a little bit of mixed feelings about sharing that deeply.
Yeah.
But it's a good piece. I'm very proud of it. I wrote, in college, I wrote a play that you saw about the rough and tumble world of professional table tennis, mm-hmm. called Generic Play,
mm-hmm.
with a friend of mine called Kevin Ruff, which was very, in many ways, similar to the style of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote a children's show for Napa Valley College called Clown Show, which interwove sort of a history of clowning and famous clowns along with, I think we did probably 8 or 9 gags. So I think I don't know, the running time was maybe 70 or 80 minutes.
Right.
I think it was a one act
right. All
the way through. Those are the ones that come to mind. You've written other things as well.
I have, yeah. I was, when I first got, I mean, I wrote a musical in college at Berkeley, mm-hmm. and it seems like everybody had to write a play in college, right?
Yeah.
And when I got to grad school directing, we were doing about one acts, and I had this notion of a one act set in a restroom, in a men's restroom. I called it Nature's Call. And it was just as many little vignettes in this one restroom. The trickiest part of that was finding the set.
Mm.
We could have pantomimed it. It occurs to me now, but anyway. And then when I was at American Stage Festival, I wrote adaptations for the main stage of Frankenstein and Christmas Carol. Christmas Carol was actually interesting because there is no state that embodies more the ethos of pre-conversion Ebenezer Scrooge than New Hampshire with its live free or die motto. And so it was a perfect show for New Hampshire. But then I also, my adaptation of Frankenstein was, I thought, interesting. It was sort of George Bernard Shaw meets Stephen King. It was trying to be horrific, but at the same time intellectual, full of ideas, and the same sorts of ideas that Mary Shelley was grappling with. It was not directed well. And this was another thing, too. I wish I had directed it myself,
mm-hmm.
because not that I would have made it any better as a play, necessarily. But I think I would have, because I would have gone, this scene isn't working, and sometimes it's the writer's sometimes it's the actor's fault, and I think I could have helped the actors, but sometimes it's the writer's fault, and I could have gone, yeah, this isn't working, let me go away. And I do believe that if a playwright has a directing ability, he should direct the first production himself, because it's just one less creative lens to look at the piece through. You know, get as much advice and wisdom as you can from other people. But, you know, it's your vision. It should be your vision. That should be your vision up on stage.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite writing teams via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, soon-to-be kickstarted published author Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Sarah Coughlin. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to actual playwright Russ Lees, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 250/750th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
But what I love so much about the sports show is that some of the sports show is totally actor-proof. The actors just stand there and say really, really funny lines, and it's gonna be great. But then there are other moments of the sports show that have to be acted, and have to be acted sort of well for them to really land. And for me, that's the ultimate combination, that sweet spot of just doing really funny stuff, but also stuff that requires a good level of acting.
We often get emails, well, do you have any advice?
Yeah.
Well, don't. The words are funny, so play it seriously. It sort of gets back to your thing about acting it well.
Yeah.
Don't overproduce it. It's supposed to sort of look like it's being made up as it's going. So don't have big fancy costumes. Don't have a big fancy complicated set. And keep the pace up. You know, the shows are meant to be under 2 hours. And if it's over 2 hours, you're not doing it right.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.